The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 26th through Sunday, July 2nd, 2023. The commentary for the month of June was written by Terry J. Stokes, associate pastor at the Reformed Church of Highland Park, New Jersey, and was confirmed at St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Harlem, New York. A graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary and Yale University, he is an avid spike ball player, songwriter, and pop culture enthusiast. He is the author of Prayers for the People, Things We Didn't Know We Could Say to God. The commentary for the month of July, which begins towards the end of this week, was written by Menelas Tamaya Migret, who was born in Guantanamo, Cuba, that teaches literature and edits the magazine Luz in Holguin University. In 2013, she joined the Episcopal Church, where she teaches catechism and serves as diocesan secretary for Episcopal Church women in Cuba. The commentary for Monday, June 26th, begins as follows. It's taken from the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 4b. Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off upon the threshold. Here's the commentary for this day. I've been thinking about the confrontations with false gods in the Old Testament. This story of Dagon falling on his face twice before the Ark of the Covenant, Elijah mocking the prophets of Baal before calling down fire from heaven, Moses smashing the golden calf, grinding it up into powder and making the Israelites drink it out of the river. In this nation, we bring the first fruits of our labor, and often the lion's share of it, and pour it into the gaping mouth of death. And while its priests grow rich and powerful, we're told that in order to be blessed, we need to sacrifice more, more trust and power to the system, more children's lives to gun culture. I want to see the people of God knock false gods down. If we keep tipping them over, if we keep undermining and resisting them, maybe eventually we can cut off their hands and head on the threshold, so that every time their priests want to enter their temples, they are reminded of their impotency before the one true God. And now I'm going to read from this story in the Old Testament in its entirety. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and placed it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon, falling on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off upon the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priests of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not step on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and struck them with tumors, both in Ashdod and in its territory. And when the inhabitants of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is heavy on us and our god Dagon." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" The inhabitants of Gath replied, "Let the ark of God be moved on to us." So they moved the ark of the God of Israel to Gath. But after they had brought it to Gath, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic. He struck the inhabitants of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of the God of Israel to Ekron. But when the ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "Why have they brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people?" They sent, therefore, and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. Those who did not die were stricken with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to the heaven. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 26th, what false gods are you prepared to topple? And now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, June 27th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 41. "As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name." There's a significant difference between the Way and the other movements that the Pharisee Gamaliel cites in his petition to the high priests on behalf of the apostles. When Theudas and Judas rose up, hundreds followed them. They were killed and their followers dispersed. But when Jesus rose up, thousands followed him. He was killed and his followers dispersed, and then Jesus came back and his followers reassembled, and now they are the ones propagating his message. It is clear to the council that the name of Jesus has real staying power. It is just a matter of who gets to control the power of that name. The same contention exists today in our communities. Who gets to claim the name of Jesus, and who will be shown to be taking it in vain? I hope by our love and our repentance, we will be considered worthy of acting for the sake of the name. And now I'll read the entire passage from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. "When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of his name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. The moving forward statement from this day, did you know that the Moving Forward organization here, Forward Movement as it's called, donates resources to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons? Learn how you can help in this vital ministry at forwardmovement.org/donate. The commentary for Wednesday, June 28th, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1. Now during those days when the disciples were increasing in numbers, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Here's the commentary. Acts 2 and 4 tell us of the early church community and its collectivized economy. Daily fellowship and worship and unity of spirit. It's an incredible picture of what the church can be. But here in chapter 6, we begin to see some fissures in the new foundation. Any beloved community will experience growing pains as they leave behind the old ways and create new systems for meeting one another's needs. The church responded to this problem by creating the Holy Order of Deacons, tasking 7 remarkably gifted men with overseeing equity in the provision of basic needs. This group included Stephen, who was full of grace and power and able to do great wonders and signs, irresistible in oration and shining with the face of an angel. I pray that we, in our own crafting of beloved community, demonstrate our commitment to equity of basic provision by similarly entrusting it to deeply anointed leaders. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Acts 6, verses 1 through 15. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth, will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday, June 28th, is to research the ministry of the diaconate. And now the commentary for Thursday, June 29th, the feast day of St. Peter and St. Paul. It begins with a passage from the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 34, verse 15. "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God." For all of Jesus' attempts to convey the full meaning of following a Messiah who will be handed over to death, Peter seems not to have grasped it prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. He is gung-ho while Jesus is there, and promptly peters out after the prospect of a bodily Messiah to follow seems to be snuffed out. But now Jesus hearkens back to that moment by redeeming Peter's threefold denial with the threefold declaration of love. In these words, Jesus clarifies the fullness of what it means to follow him. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep." He extends the metaphor of David and of Ezekiel, commissioning Peter to strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the injured, bring back the strayed, and seek the lost. It's a tender moment, but also a weighty one. Jesus predicts that Peter will be martyred, not because of his knowledge of Jesus as the Messiah, which he had before the denial, but because of his love for Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. And now I'm going to read the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' A second time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' 'Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go.' He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" And now the moving forward question for this day: how are you responding to Jesus' words, "Follow me"? The commentary for Friday, June 30th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Satan has demanded to separate the wheat from the chaff. Satan, the accuser. Satan, the one who pulled up to the heavenly council and demanded a chance to reveal Job, the poster boy for wheat, for the chaff that he really was deep down. Isn't it interesting that the being who has come to embody sin more than any other is also the one who feels he has the right to judge and evaluate and sift us based on our moral character? That he has the duty to condemn us and administer the consequences of our wrongs. I'm grateful that Jesus reserves this responsibility for himself. I'm glad that the one who separates the wheat from the chaff also separates our sins from us as far as the east is the west, who prays that our faith may not fail, and yet, even when it does, overwrites our denial with affirmation and recommissions us to strengthen our siblings. And now I'm going to read from the passage from Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 38. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. He said to them, when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, no, not a thing. He said to them, but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled. They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, it is enough. And the moving forward question for this Friday, June 30th, are you tempted to be the judge and jury for others? Remind yourself that it is Jesus' role and not yours. And the commentary for Saturday, July 1st, begins with a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 22. Then Samuel took Saul and his servant boy and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited. I have a friend who lived for many years in submission to the wishes and will of those who lived with her. This situation made her feel worthless, a person of no value. Yet by faithfully reading the Word of God and praying, she obtained the spiritual food she needed and the strength to assert her dignity. When Saul receives the word of God through Samuel, he feels that a mistake has been made. Saul came from the smallest, the most insignificant tribe. How could he possibly be the one that God would choose for such an important task? Yet for God, none of us is insignificant or small. Jesus calls us to pray in order to be freed from temptations. When we pray regularly, we are freed from spiritual scarcity, and we understand the value of allowing God's will to work in our lives. Today, my friend is an independent, self-assured woman, a leader in the church, who is respected and loved. And the moving forward statement for this day is, pray for God's will to be done in your life. And now we conclude our commentary for this week with the commentary for Sunday, July 2nd, which is the fifth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt with me richly. I will praise the name of the Lord Most High. My sister once asked me, how do you manage at work if you have a scheduling conflict with a church event? I told her that my boss knows I always carry out my duties, but she also knows that I am a Christian and church is a priority. I always tell my boss the truth, and so far it has gone well. I do not worry about having my hours cut off. I know I am a valuable and reliable worker, and that, too, is a fruit of love. Giving ourselves to the way of faith presupposes letting go of things that may have restrained us for a long time. When we study the Word and trust in God, our faith turns into love, a boundless love. We then organize our lives around that love. We should praise God always, in good times and in bad times, and the Lord will reward us. And now I'm going to read the entire Psalm 13, chapter 13 from the book of Psalms. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And the moving forward question for this day, what is at the center of your life? Does it have anything to do with love? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.